voices and thank him. Scripture says if I had 10,000 tongues, it wouldn't be enough to tell you thank you, not just for your goodness, not just for your kindness, not just for your grace and your mercy, but for keeping me from danger, seen and unseen. Somebody can testify. Thank you, Father, for keeping me from myself when I could have destroyed myself. Thank you. Ooh, I just want to say, your mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
For your grace and your mercy and your long suffering. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your compassion and your love and your patience towards me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Grab those Bibles and stand. God is doing something. Thank you. 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 I don't have everything that I want, but thank you. Things ain't going the way that I want them to go, but thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It could be better, but thank you. The things are as well as they are. Thank you. 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 Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. Genesis 50 and 20. Thank you. 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 Doesn't matter the language. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As I look back over my life, I gotta, if I look back over last week, I gotta say thank you. I gotta say thank you. I gotta say thank you for doors that you opened, ways that you made. Thank you. So many times you healed and delivered and forget. I gotta say thank you. 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 I got to. I must say thank you. I gotta say thank you. It's only the polite thing to do. I got to say thank you. Genesis 50 and 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. Sounds like somebody's testimony here, huh? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. I want you to turn to three people around you and tell them these four words. You're going to make it. 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 You can do more than three if you want to. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Now, after you don't encourage everybody else, put your hands on yourself and say, self, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to, in fact, wrap your arms around yourself and tell, you're going to make it. 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 Father, we thank you now for your presence and your power and your strength that's already in the room, Father. Something bound is going to happen today, Father God. Shackles will be broken, Father God. Lies will be changed, Father. Deliverance will take place, oh God. Healing is flowing right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your presence, and we don't take it lightly that you decided to dwell here with us. And it's in the strong name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's people say, as you're taking your seat, tell somebody else, you're going to make it. 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 You are going to make it. You're going. You're going to make it. Ain't even a thing. It's just a thing, a matter of time. You're going to make it. A few months ago, it had rained, and to our surprise, Sister Soons and I went down to the basement, and all of a sudden, there was nothing but rain in the bottom of the basement. So we quickly moved the furniture. We didn't have no shop vac. We didn't have any of that. We're using mop buckets and mops and stuff, trying to get water up in towels that ain't doing nothing. So we do. We called to try to figure out, man, how can we get this problem fixed? We had no idea the rain would come in the basement when it rained. We didn't know if this was going to happen. Sister Alicia, and so we do our due diligence. We research. We look for companies. Call the company. They come out to the house. Oh, yeah, sir, we can take care of this. We can install a sub pump. We got to do this. We'll carve this out and do this. Then you get a contractor to come in to put this back, and we can do all of that. I said, okay, cool. How long will it take? Oh, Mr. Swimson, it'll take us about a few days to get that done. We'll be in and out of here in a shimmy, so it won't take us long at all. And so I'm like, okay, great, how much is all that's going to cost? And so he's over there on his calculator and typing up stuff. I said, you're typing a little bit too long, sir, speed that up. Just one, two clicks, y'all, you get. Amen. Any more than that, you're doing too much. You're doing way too much. It's going to be high. And so he's tapping, he's just typing away, Sister Greta typing away or whatever. He come, he said, oh yeah, it'd be around $8,000 for us to come in here and take care of this. We can do this in a matter of days. I said, how many days did it take you to do? About a day or two. I said, it won't take us long at all. I said, okay. And so he's trying to test my game. So, okay, we know we have a plan where you can be able to make payment. I said, I didn't ask you for no payment plan. I can be able to take care of this. I can handle that. You know, that's not even a question. Just tell me how much it's going to cost, how long it's going to take you. He said, yeah, we want to do a payment plan. You can do that. And with an interest rate that was out of this world, I want to say, do I look like Boo Boo the Fool to take this offer from you of what this is going to cost? So I'm just mad. I'm upset. I'm ready for him to go ahead and get out the house, because I don't want to get ridiculous and say something that I shouldn't say, because I'm upset at how this, the water that came in, it was a lot, but wasn't that much. It's going to cost over $8,000 to be able to fix it. I'm trying to figure out in the world, let me call somebody else to come in here. Let me call Deacon Brian. Maybe Deacon Brian can fix this, and I don't have to pay no $8,000 to get this taken care of. And so I'm sitting there trying to figure it all out, and Brittany's trying to figure it all out, and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I don't know how this thing is going to work, but God, I trust you that it's going to work out the way that it needs to work. Many of you have been there, that you have had some things unexpectedly to happen and you had no idea how you were going to navigate through it at all. Don't leave me out here by myself. No matter what stage in life that you are in, whether you're a student, whether you're fully grown, whether you have your own property or you're renting, doesn't make a difference. There have been some things in life that have happened unexpectedly, and you're trying to figure out, how am I going to navigate through this? I believe that God uses life to teach us how to deal with curveballs. Everybody say curveballs. Curveballs, those things that happen unexpected, not even planned. You may have had a plan to go to Hawaii for the summer, and then something goes down with your car, and the amount to get your car fixed is the same amount of money you had saved to go to Hawaii. You say, why me, God? Why hast thou forsaken me? Curveballs, unexpected things that come out of nowhere and we're not ready for, and we don't know how to deal with it. Saints of God, no matter how long you have been saved, no matter how long you have walked with God, no matter what titles you have behind your name, in the middle of your name, at the end of your name, all of us will have curveballs that we will have to deal with and navigate in life. There are things, some things Holy Spirit will give you an up about and give you a heads up that something is about to happen, but there are some things that God allows to take us by surprise. And if you're like me, sometimes you're like, Sister Baker, God, that was unkind of you to just allow this to jump off in my life, and you sent no word through the shepherd, you sent no word on Facebook, nothing, and it just happened. Joseph is one that can be able to testify with us this morning about dealing with curveballs. This brother, the story that starts off in Genesis chapter 37, he is the favorite son of Jacob. It's no lie. It's not that Jacob just said that Joseph was his favorite son, but he gave him something that distinguished him from the rest of his brothers that caused hatred amongst his other brothers. Jacob gave him a coat of many colors that showed the favor that God had, the favor that he had upon his son. So wherever Joseph went, favor followed him. Whenever he came amongst his brothers, they knew, oh, here he comes. In fact, when they would see him from a ways off, they would say, here come that dreamer again. Here he coming down here. And he just do it. I don't know if Joseph realized it now. Maybe he wasn't trying to be petty. Maybe he's just wearing what his father had gave him. But it annoyed his brothers to see the favor and the favoritism. Here it is, parents. Be careful when you show favoritism amongst your children, because the other ones that you don't favor will begin to become jealous of the one that is favored. And even though they came from the same womb, they slept in the same bed, they went to the same preschool, they will begin to store up a hatred against that sibling because of the favor that you have bestowed upon them. Bible says that the brothers make up in their minds, we're tired of hearing his dreams. Tired of him talking about that he had a dream that their sheaves were bowing down to their sheaves, and they asked the question, so are you saying Jojo that one day that you're going to be the leader of us? You're the youngest, Brent. What you talking about? You've been, I don't know if you smoking some weed or what, but you're dreaming a little bit too deep, because how in the world are we going to bow down to you? There's no way that's going to happen. Theologians say they talk about the pressure that the brothers had put upon Joseph, but they also suggest that some of the pressure that Joseph got from his brothers was of his own doing. We have to learn what Joseph did that we don't need to do. We have to learn sometimes how to shut our mouths. Everything that God shows you, everything that God reveals to you, everything that God gives you, we kill it before it can even manifest itself because we told the wrong people. There is nothing worse in being excited and being passionate about something and you tell a jealous person your dream. Oh, they will look to see how they can kill it. They will look. They can be saying, they're saying with their mouths, oh, that sounds good. But on the inside, they're jealous and they're hating you because of what you're designing to do. And they're mad because they didn't have the guts to do what you've done. They're mad because they didn't have the faith to have like you've had to trust and believe God to do the impossible. So ladies and gentlemen, please learn from Joseph to sometimes shut your mouth and be careful and mindful about what you say and who you say to. Ask Holy Ghost to let you know who can I share what I'm pregnant with? Who can I talk to with? Who can I tell this to? I can't tell everybody, but God, I got to share it with somebody, and give me another wisdom and discernment to know who to share it to and who not to say nothing to at all. Because ladies and gentlemen, whether you want to believe it or not, there are dream killers out there in the streets. There are dream killers right there in your family. Your roommate may be a dream killer. Go ahead and move right now. Listen, people in your household may be dream killers. Make sure you are mindful of what you say and who you say it to, because there's someone that's ready to rain on your parade and tell you what you can't do. Joseph brings it upon himself because he said too much too soon to immature people that could not handle what God was about to do in his life. They said, we're sick of this, tired of him walking around here with this colorful jacket on, walking around here talking about his dreams. We got to bring an end to this. So the brothers come together to conspire and say, how can we get rid of Jojo? How can we shut this joker up? They say, hey, let's go ahead and kill him. Let's get rid of him. We get excited about power and power too, but we got power right here in Genesis. We got people conspiring against their own sibling, ready to betray their own blood. One brother speaks up and said, no, let's not take his life. Let's put them in a container. Let's put them in a cistern with no water and wait for him to die. Judah comes along the way and says, hey, let's not do that. Let's sell him into slavery. And what they fail to realize that in their plotting, in them conspiring, God was already working behind the scenes. Saints of God, you have to understand that we serve a providential God. We serve a providential God that already knows what's going to happen before it even happens. We serve a providential God who is the executive producer of our lives, that is sitting high, as the old saints would say, and looking low. And he knows the end from the beginning. And he even knows what's going to jump off in the middle. We serve a God that through his divine providence already has everything in motion and how it needs to go. Joseph has no idea how God is working behind the scene. Joseph has no idea how God is working things together for his good. Joseph has no idea. All he knows is, I am a dreamer. God keeps giving me stuff, and I'm favored by my father, but I'm hated by my brothers. And here I am being sold into slavery. What's next for my life? What's going to happen next for me? It's three things this morning that we can be able to take away. Three things. Somebody say three things. Say just three things. Say just three things. Just going to be three because I'm hungry. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and do what we got to do. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're going to go ahead and get out of here and do what we need to do. Three things that we can learn from Joseph. Here it is. The first thing, saints of God, stay faithful to God. Oh, man, I can't stress this enough. Stay faithful to God. When you look at Genesis chapter 39, a few verses there, verses 6 through 13, this is what happens as he's sold into slavery. Here it is right here. It says, so Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Come and sleep with me. She's a bold woman, she demanded. But Joseph refused. Look, he said, my master trusts me with everything that is in his entire household. No one has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. So she kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day. He refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one was around. When he went to do his work, she came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, come on, sleep with me. Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand, and he ran from the house. When she saw that she was holding his cloak, he had fled. Joseph ends up being betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, and now he ends up in the captain's house, and the captain's name is Potiphar. Theologians say around this time, Joseph is around in his late teens, around his 20s, but the Bible is very descriptive when it talks about Joseph. The Bible says Joseph looked good. The Bible says Joseph was well built. The Bible says that Joseph had a six pack. He had the muscles. You have to understand, in their culture, Joseph is doing hard labor. So he's probably walking around doing his work with no shirt on. And all of a sudden, listen, Potiphar's wife had not noticed nobody else, but she looked up one day and she said, oh my gosh, look at the beauty of God. She sees Joseph, and immediately she wants to sleep with him. And she does everything that she can to trap him. Bible says she keeps pursuing him. Joseph is trying to stay out of her way, but everywhere Joseph pop up, here she is. Hey, Joseph. You know, we can do some things. And she said, well, Ron Ashley said, she said, we can keep this on the down low. And nobody will have to know. How y'all know that song? You're not supposed to know that song. She gets in Joseph's way to get him off track, to set him up. Her intentions is never for Joseph's betterment. Her intentions is for her own fleshly desires. But what does Joseph do? Joseph continues to stay focused. Joseph continues. He lets her know. He says, listen, ever since I've been here, Potiphar has been so good to me. He has entrusted everything to my care. Everything he has entrusted to me except for you, because you are his wife. You should not be trying to be with nobody else but your husband. I know he may not look like I look. I know. He may not be able to do what he used to do. Amen. But that is still yet your husband, and I am not. So I have to remove myself and get myself out of the way, because I could ruin everything right now and my future if I was to sleep with you. Joseph realized that, hey, one night with you could ruin the rest of my life. Joseph realized, I am where I am right now. It's because of the hand of God being on me. I know others had it thought that wrong, that it was just about the favor that his father had upon him. It was not just the coat that he had the favor. Yes, it was a display of the favor, but the hand of God was already on Joseph's life. And Joseph recognized the hand of God that was on his life. And Joseph realized that I could ruin the rest of my life by being with you. Some of us need to recognize that God's hand is on our lives, because when we recognize that God's hand is on our lives, it will cause us to be cautious about our movements and our dealings and our interactions, because we realize I cannot afford to ruin being my future for just one moment of pleasure. Joseph, despite the harassment from Potiphar's wife, he continued to stay faithful and focused on God. The true test, thank you, Holy Spirit, the true test of faithfulness is, how do you handle temptation? The true test of faithfulness, how do you handle temptation under pressure? Get this. When nobody is looking. Oh, it's easy to turn down temptation when others are there looking at you. But how do you handle temptation under pressure when you got somebody there saying, hey, I won't say nothing? Only you and I will know what has happened. Because it would have been a trap that Joseph would have fell into. Because get this, saints of God, get this, y'all, get this. Let's be real and honest this morning. The kids are in children's church. This would not have just been a one-time hookup. It would have been a continual thing that would have went on and on and on. Joseph realized, I can't ruin the rest of my life by being with you. And so the Bible says that he runs out of there. He gets away from there. And she looks at her hands and realizes that his cloak is in my hands. I got to use my sanctified imagination. She's mad. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's mad because she could not get what she wanted. And because she could not get what she wanted. So, okay, I'm about to trip this joker up right now. Hey, servants, come here. Y'all seen Joseph? Yeah, he just ran out. He tried to sleep with me. He tried to rape me. She conspires against Joseph because she could not get what she wanted, and she has him put into jail. Potiphar finds out, and he sends him to jail. Look at verse 19 through 23, saints of God. It says here in 39, Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisons were held, and there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prisoner warden. Wait a minute. Hold up, saints of God. Reverend, did you just say that Joseph has been put in jail because the accusation is that he tried to rape Potiphar's wife? But this stalker done got favor and has been shown favor with the prison warden? Absolutely. Because here it is, saints of God. The favor of God that is upon your life is not contingent upon the location. The favor of God that's on your life can meet you in California, can meet you down at the bottoms, can meet you at the top. It does not matter where you are. What matters is that I stay faithful to God and obey what God has already commissioned for me to do. Because wherever I am and where God has placed me, favor will always be there. I wish somebody would hear me this morning. You thought that coming to Carbondale would be the worst thing of your life, but you had no idea that favor was already here in this small town. Can anything good come out of Carbondale? Absolutely. I'm looking at you right now. You thought that coming here was going to be the end of your life, and you had no idea of the favor and the things that God would do and how he ordered your steps simply because you obeyed him. Saints of God, if you stay faithful to God and focus on God and obey God, favor will follow you. Joseph's a witness of that, because he's sitting in prison and favor has followed him. Favor has followed him to prison. He has been betrayed by his brothers, y'all. Let's go ahead and rewind and go back. He's been favored by his father. He's been betrayed by his brother. He has false accusations from Potiphar's wife. Now he's in prison. Here it is. Character and integrity is best displayed when the cameras are off. Character and integrity are best displayed when the cameras are off. I don't care how well you sing. Character and integrity are best displayed when the cameras are off. I don't care how well you preach. Character and integrity are best displayed when the cameras are off. I don't care how anointed you think you are. Character and integrity are best displayed when the cameras are off. Who are you and how do you conduct yourself when nobody's looking? Who are you and how do you conduct yourself outside of church? Who are you and how do you conduct yourself when the cashier at Walmart gives you the wrong amount of change back? Do you say it's been a blessing from God? Or do you give it back so her drawer won't come up short and she won't lose her job? How did your character and your integrity are best displayed when nobody else is looking? I know many of us, we talk about spiritual gifts and how the gifts that we want to be able to have. Can I tell you the greatest gift that we can have as believers and just as decent human beings is to have character and integrity, that our word can mean something, that our name can mean something, that I'm not two-faced, that when you see me in church, I'm the same way at home. I'm the same way in Walmart. I'm the same way at Applebee's. I'm the same. I'm getting hungry. I'm the same way at Longhorn. Can't we just have people that will have consistent character and integrity in their life? Can you do good for people and not take a selfie and make a post? Can you do good just because it's the right thing to do? Joseph models to us the value and the importance of having character and integrity. I like it because even in the accusations, Joseph doesn't fight against what Potiphar's wife says. He doesn't try to bring justice for himself when he talks to Joseph, when he talks to Potiphar. He lets everything plan out the way that it needs to plan out because he realized, thank you, Holy Spirit, that God is fighting for me. Oh, my gosh. He realizes I ain't got to say nothing. I don't have to have a press conference. I don't have to make a post because God is fighting for me, because I am walking righteously before God. I don't have to argue. I don't have to fight because God is. Have you ever had God fight for you? Have you ever had God speak on your behalf? Have you ever had God stand up for you? When you walk upright before God, there is no good thing that he will withhold from you. But not just that, when you walk upright before God, God will fight for you behind the scenes. When others want to drag your name, when others want to bring you down, when others want to cut the corner, God will fight for you. You're going to make it because we're going to stay faithful to God. You're going to make it because we're going to stay focused on God. But here's the second thing, saints of God. We're going to make it because, get this, this is so important. Write this down. Because we're going to resist the urge to become bitter towards God and others. We're going to resist the urge to become bitter towards God and others. We're going to resist the urge to become bitter towards God and others. Come in for a second. Let's be real. Let's go back. Let's go back and rewind his story. He's been betrayed by his brothers. David in the Psalms, he writes about it. I'm paraphrasing. David puts something like this. He says, listen, I could have handled it better knowing that it was my enemy that became against me. But when it was my own that I was familiar with, it became an issue, Reverend. Betrayed by his brothers. Put in a cistern to die. Sold into slavery. Lied on with the accusation of rape. Who wouldn't be bitter? Who wouldn't hate with a deep hate towards your family after they betrayed you? Who wouldn't have an issue with God because, God, you could have interrupted, but you didn't? God, you could have turned some things around, but you didn't. And I got a problem with that because I'm trying to figure out why you didn't. And here I am walking upright. God, I didn't even kiss the girl. But here I am now in jail. Have you ever had moments in your life where you're trying to think, you're trying to figure out why God has been so unfair in his dealings with you? Okay, I wish I had a real church this morning. I said, have you ever had a moment in your life where you have a strong conversation with God? You realize, yes, he is God. He created the heavens and the earth. But you say, God, come in and sit down with me for a moment. I have a problem with you because I'm trying to figure out why you allowed this to happen when I was doing this. Can I tell you something, saints of God? The same God, 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 the same God that will allow for his will to happen in your life is the same God that will allow for some stuff to happen in your life as well. Let me rephrase it this way. Just because you are in the will of God does not mean curveballs will not come. Just because you're outside of the will of God does not mean curveballs won't come. Just because you are in the will of God does not mean curveballs won't come. Whether you're in the will of God, whether you're outside of the will of God, there will be some unexpected things that will happen in your life, that will come off and jump off in your life that God does not give any notice of at all. And he's expecting to use this as a moment to grow you and mature you, to cause us to continue to trust and rely upon him and not to become bitter. I remember it was just a few years ago. Those that have been here, you know my story of becoming pastor here at Hopewell. We had that first vote. It wasn't 2/3 majority of the vote. We had a second vote. It was 10 more people than it was before, but it wasn't still 2/3 majority of it. I said, God, I am done with this. I was almost like Asaph, the choir director, getting ready to hang up his robe. I was getting ready to hang up my clergy collar and my robe and say, this is it. I'm done. What I had grown, what I had wanted to do since I was 3 years old was now a living nightmare. So yes, I have an attitude with God. Yes, I have an attitude with your people. Oh yes, I did. And I can't tell you what I said about the saints in my secret language. I had an attitude towards God. Why, when I've done everything right, did you allow this to happen? And I had to fight not to become bitter towards God. Because I had told my sister, I'm done preaching. I'm done with church. I'm done with the saints. And I'm about to wild out to the best of my ability. Oh, y'all looking at me like that. Don't look at me like that. And can I tell you, in my attempts to wild out, God blocked everything? Can I tell you, in my attempts to be rebellious, that the hand of God was still yet on my life, that he protected me from me? I'm not the only one in here, because there have been some folks in here that you said, God, I can show you better than I can tell you. I'm not just done with you by my words, but I'm going to show you with my actions. But God said, even in your hurt, even in your pain, either in your bitterness, my hand will still be upon your life, because the fight, thank you, Jesus, it's not about right now, but the fight is for the future. And I'm not gonna let you or no devil in hell ruin what I have for you in the future. I wish somebody would thank God for the divine protection and divine providence of God, that he kept you when you were self-sabotaging. He kept you. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but you got an attitude with God, because things have not gone the way you thought. Your life would be different right now. You thought things would be in a different direction right now, but it's not there, and your heart is growing bitter to God. But you're trying to figure out, God, it could be different, but you didn't allow for it to be. Why? Why, God? And I know we've been taught that we should never question God. I know we've been taught that we should watch our tone with God. He's holy, he's righteous, he's sovereign. But I thank God that I serve a God, Brother Hunt, that can deal with my humanity. I thank God that I can serve a God that he's not intimidated by my humanity. I thank God that I serve a God that he's not intimidated by my questions. I serve a God that is big enough that can be able to deal with me in my heart. I serve a God that is God enough that can be able to be with me as I'm navigating through in life, to help me not to be bitter towards him. But it's not just being bitter towards God. But we got to resist the urge not to be bitter towards others. Genesis 45 and 5 says this. Joseph now reveals himself to his brothers. They now realize that it was Joseph all the time that had been providing for them in the midst of the famine. A famine hits the land, and there's no food at home. And Jacob sends the sons out to go and get grain. Joseph disguises himself, positions himself to be able to bless his brothers. And not only does Joseph bless them, but he adds a little extra on top amongst the blessing. He says in 45 and 5, don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. Get this, y'all. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. Ooh. He said, don't be mad, don't be upset, don't be confused, because I ain't, because I've taken a step back and changed my perspective to see this thing as God sees it. Joseph says, y'all thought y'all was getting rid of me, when God was realizing I got to protect this boy from those savages. So I'm going to allow for some curveballs to jump off in his life that would take him on a route that he would not have expected or been a part of on his own. And Joseph is going to trust me enough that in the process of me rerouting his life, that I am God and sovereign, and that I'm working things together for his good. Joseph allows his brothers to understand it was God that conspired all this stuff together and for it to jump off, so that I can be able to get ahead of you to be able to preserve your lives. Here it is, saints. I got a sneaky question to ask you this morning. What if the blessings of God is contingent upon you blessing those who betrayed you? Say it again, Reverend. What if the blessings of God are contingent upon you blessing those that hurt you? What if the blessing of God is contingent upon you helping those that hurt you? Intentionally, deliberately. I'm just stirring the gravy so it can get thick. You know, you add a little bit more flour in there, it gets thicker. I'm just adding flour to the gravy in the black iron skillet. Come on here to get thick. What if your blessings are on hold because God realizes you're not at the place yet where I can trust you with my blessings and know that you will bless those that falsely accuse you? What if God is waiting for us to mature to a place that we can forgive and still help you? What if God is waiting to shower down his blessings once he knows that he can trust us enough with it that he knows if they're hungry, I'm going to feed them. If they're naked, I'm going to clothe them. Joseph is in the right place at the right time. And get this, saints. He blesses them with fresh grain, not stale grain. Because I know you were already plotting. Pastor, I'm going to bless them, but I'm not going to give them the best. He gave them the best that they had and not what was stale. I'm learning this. I can't control other folks. What they do, how they do, and when they do it. All I can do is control what I do, when I do it, and how I do it. And because I have a relationship with God, when my how is not right with the right intentions and the right emotives, there's something called conviction from the Holy Spirit that convicts me and stays on me until I do it right. Gotta resist the urge not to be bitter towards God and not to be bitter towards others. Because all of it was a part of God's plan. Get this, that was bigger than just Joseph, but it was for a nation. It was for a people. Can I tell you, saints of God, the plan that God is orchestrating in your life is bigger than just you. There are some other folks that's connected to it that you may know and may not know, that God is positioning you so that you can be able to bless others, and not just others, but to be able to bless those that betrayed you. Be able to bless those that falsely accused you. Be able to bless those that deliberately hurt you. What if the blessings was contingent upon you being able to bless those that hurt you? Listen, saints, we're going to make it because we're going to stay focused. We're going to stay faithful to God. We're going to resist the urge to become bitter towards God and bitter towards all the others. But here it is, saints of God, here it is. The last thing, God is crafting your greatest misery into your greatest ministry. God is orchestrating your greatest misery into your greatest ministry. All the way up until now, promises that Joseph had been made while in prison by the cupbearer. He told him, I will interpret your dream. Just remember me when you come out. Promises that had been failed, betrayal, hatred, all of this. Joseph can now look at it and realize that God, through his sovereignty, was orchestrating everything for my good. That God in his sovereignty was taking my greatest pain and turning it into my greatest ministry. The beautiful part about the greatest misery being turned into your greatest ministry, that when you look at the story, there is no resistance from Joseph in any phase. He doesn't fight his brothers. He doesn't try to fight for his name. He doesn't try to fight in prison. But he allows for everything to be able to go as planned. Not knowing what the plan is, but he is allowing for everything to go as planned. If God is going to turn our greatest misery into our greatest ministry, can we trust God's hand when we don't see it? Can we trust God's voice when we can't hear it? Can we go along with God's plan when it hurts? I'm a church boy. I've been in church since the womb. I don't know anything but church. Preaching and pastoring was never, you hear people talk about, man, I was on drugs for 30 years, then the light came down from heaven, then I started preaching. No, this all, it wasn't no fight. I said, hey, let's go. To grow up loving God, loving his church, and to be betrayed by church folks was a pain I had never experienced before, but took me years to let go of. Preaching to people that I did not like. You heard me. And I resisted God's plan. God, it was not supposed to be like this. It wasn't supposed to hurt like this. When after a while, all I had to do, all I could do, Reverend, was allow for it just to run its course. And not knowing that in the greatest pain, Minister Lynn, that he was developing a greatest ministry. If we can resist the urge to manipulate the process and try, okay, God, ooh, that hurts a little bit too bad. Let's turn this down a notch. Let's go this way. If we can resist the urge not to manipulate the process, God will take our greatest pain and produce fruitful ministry. When we got pregnant with Carrie, the late Mother Mary Helen Jennings made this blanket for Carrie. She would tell me. She sat right there with Mother Algie, and she said, she tapped me on my shoulder. She said, Reverend! I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I'm going to make you a blanket for your girl. I said, okay, Mother. So Carrie was born. Mother gave me the blanket. It was just beautiful. You look at it, it was just nice. She crocheted, did all the stuff, made hats, scarves, all of that. So she gave it to me. I said, Mother, if you know Mother Jenna, she wasn't too shy with her words either. And so she gave it to me. I said, oh, Mother. I said, listen, you didn't have to go out and buy all new fabric and put that stuff together. I said, Mother, what the case? She said, Reverend, I ain't going to buy nothing. I said, well, dang, then. I didn't say that. I said, okay. I took it. And she said, the blanket that you got, I took. The blanket that you have were just pieces of leftover fabric that I had. Shattered pieces of fabric that I had. And I crafted this blanket for you. I said, Mother, say what you said again. She said, Reverend, I just took pieces of leftover fabric that I had to create something new. Pieces of fabric that had probably been balled up that others would deem as useless. She took it and she crafted something new. Soon as, what are you saying? God is taking the shattered pieces of your life. God is taking the broken pieces of your life. God is taking the hurtful pieces of your life. God is taking the painful moments of your life and reweaving your life into a brand new story. He's taking pieces that others thought that were useless and really could have been thrown away. But I thank God that I serve a God, Lakeisha, that does not waste nothing at all. Amen. That what we think is waste, God sees it as a masterpiece. Amen. You're going to make it. We're going to make it. Because even in this moment right now, God is taking stuff that has hurt you and reweaving it and reusing it to make something beautiful. In this moment right now, God is using every hurt, pain, irritation, agitation that you've had to create a new story, a better future for you. And let me say, I'm proud of you that you didn't quit. I'm proud of you that you didn't drop out. I'm proud of you that you didn't throw your hands up and just say forget it and walk away. But you stuck it out. And for some, it's not that even you stuck it out. You're still in it right now. And I want to applaud you for not dropping out. There's folks in here right now. You're saying, Pastor, it's hard trying to stay faithful to God. Pastor, it's hard not to be bitter towards God and bitter towards others. God, Pastor, it's hard allowing for everything to run its course when it's so painful and agonizing. I want you to meet me at this altar if that's you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your title may be. I don't care what position you may have. I want you to meet me at this altar. Don't let no one stop you from coming to this altar. The altar is where you come to be altered. The altar is where you come to be changed. The altar is where you come to sacrifice and to let go of the stuff that's been holding. There's more of you in here right now. There's your sacrifice. God wants you to give him the shattered pieces of your life so that he can be able to reweave a new future, a brighter future, a better future for your life. If that's you, if that's you, if that's you, if that's you, make your way to this altar. I'm not in no rush this morning. Make your way to the altar. Press your way to this 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 altar. Press your way. Press your way to this altar. You're here. You're here. You're here. You're here. You're here. There's more of you that should be at this altar. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to start until you get here. More of you need to be at this altar. Holy Spirit is urging you. Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Make your way. Press your way to this altar. Forget who's looking. It ain't about them. You're just a few steps away from freedom. Make your way to this altar. Press your way, 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 press your way. There's still more of you. There's still more of you. There's still more of you. Come, 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 come. There's still more of you. Come, 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 come. There's still more of you. Come. He's taken the shattered pieces. He's taken the broken pieces. And he's creating something beautiful from the ashes. Come, 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 come. I'm in no rush. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. He wants to bring an end to the trauma that you've experienced in childhood. Make your way to this altar. He wants to bring an end to the agonizing trauma that you've experienced in your childhood and has bled over into your adulthood. Make your way to this altar. 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 There's still more. Holy Spirit, just keep saying there's still more. There's still more. Press your way to this altar. Press your way to this altar. Press your way to this altar. Come on, it's a safe space. It's a safe space. It's a safe space. It's a safe space. Hallelujah. 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 Make your way. 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 He's seen your tears. He's heard your cries. Make your way to this altar. Make your way. 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 Hallelujah. And just lift those hands in worship. Lift those hands in worship. Come on. Lift those hands in worship. Just begin to talk to God. 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 Father, we thank you now. 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 Father, we thank you right now, oh God, in the powerful name of Jesus, for what you are doing in the hearts that are at this altar right now. God, we thank you for the strongholds that you are breaking, Father. We thank you right now for the strongholds that you are breaking at this altar, God. We thank you, Father, for the transformation that is happening right now in their hearts, oh God, by your Spirit, Father. We thank you for the transformation, oh God, that is happening in their minds, that's happening in their bodies, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, and I speak freedom over them right now, God. Freedom in their minds, oh God. Freedom in their emotions, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. I pray for a resurrection of hope, oh God, that will happen in their lives, Father. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you will come in, that they will allow space for you to come in, Father God, to do what needs to be done on the inside, Father. It's not so much about the outside of the things that needs to happen, Father, but on the inside, Father God. Oh God, you've seen the hurt, Father God. You've seen the tears, oh God. I pray right now, you've seen the struggle, oh God, and I pray right now in of Jesus, oh God, that you would do what only you can do, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. I speak freedom, oh God, over them in the name of Jesus, oh God. I speak freedom over their minds, oh God, freedom in their hearts, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. I pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you set them free, Father. Set them free, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Free from being manipulated, Father God. Free from being misused, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God. I pray that you break it now, Father. In the name of Jesus, oh God. You call her whole, Father. You call her daughter, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God. We break every stronghold, Father God. In the mind, Father God. We break it now. I bind oppression, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God. Set her free, oh God. Set her free in her mind, oh God. Set her free in her emotions, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God. Whom the Son sets free, Father God, is free indeed, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God. Break it, Father. Break it, break it, break it, break it, break it. Break it, break it, break it, break it, break it. Break it, break it, break it, break it, break it, break it. Break it, break it, break it now in the name of Jesus. Break it now in the name of Jesus, oh God. Break it now in the name of Jesus. 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 In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, restore, 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 oh God, in the name of Jesus, restore, 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 in the name of Jesus, restore strength, oh God, touch mother now, God, in the name of Jesus, restore in the name of Jesus, oh God, heal, Lord God, wombs, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, in the name.